Law 39. Stir up waters to catch fish. Judgment. Anger and emotion are strategically counterproductive. You must always stay calm and objective. But if you can make your enemies angry while staying calm yourself, you gain a decided advantage. Put your enemies off balance. Find the chink in their vanity through which you can rattle them and you hold the strings. Observance of the law. By the late 1920s, Haile Selassie had nearly achieved his goal of assuming total control over Ethiopia, a country he felt needed strong and unified leadership. As regent to the Empress Zaudetu, stepdaughter of the late queen and heir to the throne, Selassie had spent several years weakening the power of Ethiopia's various warlords. Now, only one real obstacle stood in his way, the Empress and her husband, Ras Gugsa. Selassie knew the royal couple hated him and wanted to get rid of him. So, to cut short their plotting, he made Gugsa the governor of the northern province of Begemeder, forcing him to leave the capital, where the Empress lived. For several years, Gugsa played the loyal administrator, but Selassie did not trust him. He knew that Gugsa and the Empress were plotting revenge. As time passed, and Gugsa made no move, the chances of a plot only increased. Selassie knew what he had to do: draw Gugsa out, get under his skin, and push him into action before he was ready. For several years, a northern tribe, the Azibu Galas, had been in virtual rebellion against the throne, robbing and pillaging local villages and refusing to pay taxes. Selassie had done nothing to stop them, letting them grow stronger. Finally, in 1929, he ordered Ras Gugsa to lead an army against these disobedient tribesmen. Gugsa agreed, but inwardly he seethed. He had no grudge against the Azibu Galas, and the demand that he fight them hurt his pride. He could not disobey the order, but as he worked to put together an army, he began to spread an ugly rumor that Selassie was in cahoots with the Pope and planned to convert the country to Roman Catholicism and make it a colony of Italy. Gugsa's armies swelled, and some of the tribes from which his soldiers came secretly agreed to fight Selassie. In March of 1930, an enormous force of 35,000 men began to march, not on the Azibu Galas, but south, toward the capital of Addis Ababa. Made confident by his growing strength, Gugsa now openly led a holy war to depose Selassie and put the country back in the hands of true Christians. He did not see the trap that had been laid for him. Before Selassie had ordered Gugsa to fight the Azibu Galas, he had secured the support of the Ethiopian church. And before the revolt got underway, he had bribed several of Gugsa's key allies not to show up for the battle. As the rebel army marched south, airplanes flew overhead, dropping leaflets announcing that the highest church officials had recognized Selassie as the true Christian leader of Ethiopia, and that they had excommunicated Gugsa for fomenting a civil war. These leaflets severely blunted the emotions behind the Holy Crusade, and as battle loomed and the support that Gugsa's allies had promised him failed to show up, soldiers began to flee or defect. When the battle came, the rebel army quickly collapsed. Refusing to surrender, Ras Gugsa was killed in the fighting. The Empress, distraught over her husband's death, died a few days later. On April 30th, Selassie issued a formal proclamation announcing his new title, Emperor of Ethiopia. Interpretation. Haile Selassie always saw several moves ahead. He knew that if he let Ras Gugsa decide the time and place of the revolt, the danger would be much greater than if he forced Gugsa to act on Selassie's terms. So, he goaded him into rebellion by offending his manly pride asking him to fight people he had no quarrel with on behalf of a man he hated. Thinking everything out ahead, Selassie made sure that Gugsa's rebellion would come to nothing and that he could use it to do away with his last two enemies. This is the essence of the law. When the waters are still, your opponents have the time and space to plot actions that they will initiate and control. So stir the waters, force the fish to the surface, get them to act before they are ready. Steal the initiative. The best way to do this is to play on uncontrollable emotions, pride, vanity, love, hate. Once the water is stirred up, the little fish cannot help but rise to the bait. The angrier they become, the less control they have, and finally, they are caught in the whirlpool you have made, and they drown. Keys to power. Angry people usually end up looking ridiculous, for their response seems out of proportion to what occasioned it. They have taken things too seriously, exaggerating the hurt or insult that has been done to them. They are so sensitive to slight that it becomes comical how much they take personally. More comical still is their belief that their outbursts signify power. The truth is the opposite. Petulance is not power. It is a sign of helplessness. People may temporarily be cowed by your tantrums, but in the end, they lose respect for you. They also realize they can easily undermine a person with so little self-control. If a person explodes with anger at you, and it seems out of proportion to what you did to them, you must remind yourself that it is not exclusively directed at you. Do not be so vain. The cause is much larger, goes way back in time, involves dozens of prior hurts, and is actually not worth the bother to understand. Instead of seeing it as a personal grudge, look at the emotional outburst as a disguised power move, an attempt to control or punish you, cloaked in the form of hurt feelings and anger. This shift of perspective will let you play the game of power with more clarity and energy. Instead of overreacting and becoming ensnared in people's emotions, you will turn their loss of control to your advantage. You keep your head while they are losing theirs. Once you train yourself not to take matters personally and to control your emotional responses, you will have placed yourself in a position of tremendous power. Now you can play with the emotional responses of other people. Stir the insecure into action by impugning their manhood and by dangling the prospect of an easy victory before their faces. With the arrogant, too, you can appear weaker than you are, taunting them into a rash action.